Yeah, if you have your Bible, grab it, open it up to Proverbs chapter 25. I'm not going to start out there. I'll get there here in a moment, but I want you to go ahead and get there so that when we do get there, wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, you are on your way. So we're nearing the end of our series here in Proverbs, and what we've seen is that wisdom is found, it's manifested in several places, from what we say to our relationships, from what we do, and even how we work. But this morning, it's going to reveal itself, wisdom is, it's going to reveal itself from a place I don't think we typically think about when we think about wisdom. And that place is a place of humility. And the reason why we don't typically think about humility when we're talking about wisdom is because of humility's arch nemesis, pride. We love to talk about us, don't we? I always find it interesting when people say, I find it hard to talk to other people. Well, guess what? All you need to do is ask people questions about them, and guess what? Man, they just go off. We love to talk about us, how big, how tall, how great, smart, wealthy, or even how wise we are. I found this story of a pastor who survived the great Johnstown flood of 1889. He loved to retell the story of the frightening event to anyone who would listen. He later on, he died and he went to heaven. He found himself in the meeting of a saint of the saints who were sharing their life experiences. And so, of course, this pastor, he took St. Peter aside and he asked St. Peter if he could tell his surviving story of how he survived the Johnstown flood of 1889. So St. Peter hesitated. And then he said, well, you can tell your story, but just remember, keep in mind that Noah will be in the audience listening as well. You see, we love to talk about us. As we're going to see this morning, what Proverbs shows us is this, is that if you want to be wise, if you desire to have wisdom, then you will not have pride in your life. Because not only is pride a domain, the way of fools and scoffers and those who are wicked, it's also a sin. Listen to Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 4. The writer, Solomon, tells us this. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked are what? Sin. And because it's a sin, Proverbs 16 tells us that God hates it and will punish it. Listen to Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone who's arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured, he will not go unpunished. There's that word again, abomination. We saw back in the day when we covered Proverbs chapter 11. It describes something that is offensive and detestable. And that's what an arrogant heart is to God. It's offensive to him. It's not hard to think why this is, right? Because God tells us in Scripture that he and he alone is the exalted one. He said it himself, Isaiah chapter 42. Listen to verse 8. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Other translations, they'll write, I will not yield my glory. So I'm going to date myself here, but if you think you're all that in a bag of variety chips, well, guess what? Give me a break. You are nothing compared to God. And at that moment that you try to exalt yourself above him, God will not put up with it. He's not going to give, he's not going to yield his glory to anyone else or even for you. And that's why Proverbs chapter 16, we covered this a few weeks ago as well. Chapter 16, verse number 18, Proverbs warns us. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oftentimes, we hear this verse paraphrased, and basically, we take a little bit of the first line, and we smash it with a little bit of the second line, and we paraphrase it like this. We say, pride goes before a fall. But as we just read, it doesn't say that. It says, pride goes before destruction. So the individual, the person walking around in pride, thinking that he or she is better than anyone else or even to God, whether they know it or not, they're walking towards destruction. Amen. If that's not bad enough, the person walking around with pride in their heart, they will actually have God working against him as well. Proverbs 15 tells us this in verse 25. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. I think you get the point. There's other verses in Proverbs we could cover as well, but I think you get the point. If you have pride in your life, it's not going to go well for you. Sure, it might go well for a day or two or a week, a couple months, whatever, but at some point, pride will always be a failed endeavor because God himself is personally opposed against it. But just as much, or as much, God is opposed to the proud. Scripture tells us he is full of grace and favor to those who are humble. If we skip down a few verses there in chapter 15, listen to verse number 33. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. And then Solomon will write something similar in chapter 18, verse 12. Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. In other words, humility actually gives you the results, gives you what pride desires. It gives you what pride is chasing after. You're after honor. You're after recognition. Well, Scripture says, wisdom says, don't walk in pride. You need to walk in humility. Because when you try to make yourself high, when you try to puff yourself up, God will knock you down. But when you choose humility, when you choose to be humble, then Scripture says God will actually honor us. And this is why Solomon writes way back in chapter 11. If anything, this would be like the theme of verse for this morning's message. Verse 2 of chapter 11 tells us this. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with the humble is what is wisdom. You want wisdom. You want to be wise. Well, listen, Scripture tells you that you have to choose to be humble. Which, if you were like me about this point in the message, you're probably asking yourself, well, then how? I hear you, JD. Preach it. That's some good stuff. I believe it. It's in God's word. I want to obey it. But how? How do you choose to be humble? What does it actually look like to practice humility instead of pride? Because I heard the moment you think you're humble, then you're no longer humble, right? It's no longer humility. Well, I'm glad you asked the question, because it's as if Scripture knew ahead of time you would be asking those questions. So you should be there in Proverbs chapter 25. Let's pick it up in verse number 6 and see what Scripture tells us. How we choose to walk in humility. Solomon writes, do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. You want to practice humility? Well, then Solomon says, Scripture tells us that you need to choose the low spot. You fast forward about 1,000 years later, Jesus, who is wiser than Solomon, he picked up on this same truth in Luke chapter 14 when he talked about choosing a seat at the wedding feast. If we were to bring it up to today's standards or in modern times, it would be as if you walk into the break room and you see the boss there. And you see that there's an empty seat right next to the boss. And you try to sit down next to the boss only to have him or her tell you, well, listen, awkward. I'm actually saving that seat for someone else. How much better would it be to walk into that break room, you notice your boss sitting there, but you choose a different seat, and then to have him or her say, hey, wait a minute, are you mad at me? Do you not like me anymore? Did I do something? Why don't you come over here and sit next to me, and let's have lunch together? You see, it's always better to be called up from the back up to the front than it is to be sent back from the front back to the back. But there are ways that you and I, we can choose to deliberately leave the best for others. Are there ways that we can choose the low spot outside of the workplace? Absolutely. Take, for instance, our church. Next week, we're going to kick off what we're calling, not our small groups anymore, we're calling them connect groups. Places where we can connect with one another. I don't want to get into it this morning. We'll talk about it more next Sunday. But one of the areas that we're needing assistance in is volunteers in our children's ministry. If you've been coming to Stronger this past year, you understand that a passion that we have, a focus that we're going to have moving forward in this church is a focus on young families. And one of the ways in which we believe that we need to reach out to young families is in the area of children, and specifically children's church during the worship service. Because not only does this give kids and children an opportunity at an age-appropriate level to worship and to learn what God has for them, it also gives an opportunity for parents to hear what God is saying to them or wants to say to them. Because I don't know if you've ever tried to raise kids before, but sometimes, not my kids, mind you, right? But sometimes it's very difficult to hear what God may be trying to say to you when you're constantly having to discipline your son or daughter. And that's where you come in, right? That's when you have the opportunity to choose the low spot, when you say to yourself, hey, listen, it's not about me. It's not about me constantly receiving, like I'm at an all-you-can-eat buffet. No, it's about me giving to someone else, to allow someone else to hear from God. So yeah, I'm going to jump on in. I'm going to choose the low spot so someone else can connect with God. So if that's you, and I see all your faces, and you're like, yeah, that's me. I want to do that. Right? During our response time or at some point this morning, come see me. We can talk more about that and what that entails and what we would require of you. But there's other ways that you can choose to be the low spot. That you can choose not to sit at the front, right? You can think of others. Right? A lot of people, when they come in visiting our church, it's intimidating if you have to sit up toward the front, right? And so I'm picking on the people in the back this morning, right? The expensive seats are in the front, right? So maybe when you choose the low spot, you say to yourself, well, you know what? I'm not going to sit here, even though this is my seat. And that's how I do take attendance on Sunday morning. I'm looking around. I'm like, okay, who's here? Because everyone naturally sits in the same seat. But you say to yourself, well, hey, maybe this morning I'm going to choose to sit closer to the front so that there's room in the back for families or maybe newcomers who come in. Or maybe you say to yourself, well, I have this certain parking spot that I like at the church, and this is my parking spot. Maybe you say to yourself, oh my gosh, I hope you guys, I don't have shoes on. I hope you guys have shoes on. I'm not trying to step on anyone's toes, but I'm just saying, you say to yourself, okay, I'm gonna park somewhere different to allow someone else to be able to get closer. Maybe for those who are guests or those who have a harder time walking, whatever it is, the point is you must choose to take the low spot. It's not going to come naturally to you because of your flesh. Your flesh is going to want to puff you up. Your flesh is going to want to make it all about you. What you think you need, what you think you deserve. And Scripture comes in, Christ comes in and says, no, if you want to walk the path of wisdom, you have to choose humility. It's a choice. But we don't just choose to take the low spot with those that we like or people that we're trying to impress. You know what? You choose to take the low spot with those who are your enemies as well. Look at verse 21 of chapter 25. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. I thought to myself, why did this have to be in the Bible? You know, I'm okay with parking out in Timbuktu, but now I have to take the low spot when it comes to people that I don't like? Yes. And what makes it worse is it's not only a call of restraint, right? It's not telling us to not do something to someone else, right? It's not telling us not to take vengeance on our enemies. Did you catch that? It's a call to do good to them. Amen. It's not that you just leave them alone or you don't say anything to them or you don't do anything. Scripture says if you know that they are hungry, your enemy. If you know they're hungry, you give them something to eat. If you know they're thirsty, you give them something to drink. And by doing so, by choosing the low spot, you hopefully will awaken their conscience to what God is trying to tell them. Amen. Watchman Nee, a famous missionary evangelist, he used to tell of a Chinese Christian who was a poor rice farmer. I love this story. And every day, this poor rice farmer, he would fill his rice paddies with water, only to find out that his neighbor, who was not a Christian, would drain the water into his rice paddies. And so for a while, this poor Christian rice farmer ignored the offense, but soon realized it would cost him financially a lot of money. And so he prayed to God, God, how am I to handle this situation with this un-Christian neighbor of mine? And God gave him a solution. He got up early the next day and filled his neighbor's field first, and then he filled his own. And this act of selflessness caused his neighbor to become a Christian. Church, I'm here to tell you, do you have an enemy? Do you have someone that just rubs you the wrong way at work or even at school? Proverbs says, choose the low spot. If you want to walk in wisdom, choose the low spot. Don't give them what you think they deserve. Pray that God will reveal to you how to minister to them, how you can demonstrate the love of Christ to them with the hope that they will come to know the Lord themselves. Choose the low spot. But like most things when it comes to Proverbs, and as you could tell in our study up to this point, choosing the low spot means so much more than action than what you do. Often when we choose the low spot, it's about what you say. Look at verse 7, chapter 25. It says, what your eyes have seen, do not hastily bring into court, for what will you do in the end when your neighbor puts you to shame? Oh, I keep going. Sorry, Caroline. Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another secret. My bad. Lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. So, don't make a rush to complain against your neighbor in case you have a complaint or they have a complaint against you as well. You are to be honest about your own failings, your own weaknesses, and then you're honest with others about theirs. It sounds eerily familiar to what Christ taught in Luke chapter 6 about to take the speck out of your own eye first before you deal with the log in your brother's eye. Solomon continues this theme of how you speak and listen. Listen to verse number 15 of chapter 25. With patience, a ruler may be persuaded, and a soft tongue will break a bone. You see, we must choose to take the low spot, to wait and listen, rather than to speak hastily or demandingly. And again, this is difficult, church. Why? Because of our flesh. We think too highly of ourselves. Which is why Solomon, again, warns in the very next verse of verse 16. If you have found honey, eat only enough for you, lest you have your fill of it and vomit it. Then skip down to verse number 27. It is not good to eat much honey, nor is it glorious to seek one's own glory. In other words, don't toot your own horn. A little bit of honey and sugar is nice, but you know when you've had the feeling of having too much sweets. Your head hurts, your stomach aches, your heart races, and you begin to think to yourself, I shouldn't have done that. And in the same vein, right, it's not bad to want to have a good reputation. You want people to think highly of you, but you shouldn't chase the sugar, right, in the rush of your own glory. You might have heard this statement say it this way. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Do your job and let other people notice if God wants them to. Chapter 27, Solomon will put it bluntly in verse 2. Let another praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. And skip down to verse 21. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and a man is tested by his praise. And it seems to be saying there in verse 21 that what other people say about you is truly the test of who you are instead of what you say about yourself. You want to know how you really are? You want to know how you really act? Ask someone else. Start listening to what other people say about you. And when we choose the low spot, when we choose humility, it's not just about actions. It's about what we say, especially about ourselves. I was thinking about it this morning over there in the office as I was praying for the service. Because these days, it's really easy to toot your own horn, isn't it? I mean, all you have to do is go on social media. Not right now. When you get home, right? All you have to do is go on social media. And what do you see? It's all about me. It's all about what I have done. It's all about what I have accomplished. It's all about what new car I got. It's all about what trip I got. And what we're letting people know, what we're letting the world know is, in effect, look at all these great things I have done. Is there anything sinful about that? Right? I'm just trying to let my peeps know, JD. My peeps want to know what's going on. My 700 friends want to know what I'm up to. But here's the thought that came to my mind. We're talking about response time and whether children's ministry volunteers are taking the low spot. But But here's the thought that came to my mind. What if this week that you choose one person a day, so seven people total this week. What if you use this next week and use your social media post to praise someone else? What if you took one person each day and you chose them, right? You chose the low spot by not tooting your own horn and what you have done and how great your life is, but then you choose someone else and you say, hey, everyone, I want you to know about them. And the only way this can happen, the only way you can choose the low spot to walk in humility is that you and I need to have a proper perspective of who God is in your life. The only way this can be accomplished in your life where you crucify the pride in your flesh and you choose humility is that you understand who God is. Listen to what Solomon reminds us, chapter 7, verse 1. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. You have no idea what's going to happen an hour from now, let alone tomorrow. And what a contrast that is, as you can see from what Solomon writes in Proverbs chapter 19, verse number 21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. God knows tomorrow because he has planned it. And every other day after that, and his plans, according to Proverbs, they will stand. You and I, we're so small compared to God. And knowing this and understanding this is the path to humility and acquiring wisdom in your life. The same idea of comparing yourself to God and who God is compared to you is this idea that comes out in Proverbs chapter 30 as well. Now, I don't want to spend too much time here in Proverbs 30, excuse me, because we're going to hit it next Sunday. But listen to what Agur says. He begins chapter 30 by confessing just how small he is and how tiny and minute he is compared to God and everyone else, right? We'll land the plane with this. Chapter 30, verse 1. The words of Agur, son of Jacob, the oracle. The man declares, I am weary, O God. I am weary, O God, and worn out. Surely I'm too stupid. I love that. I'm too stupid to be a man. I have not the understanding of a man. I have not learned wisdom, nor have I knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has wrapped up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? Surely you know. In other words, who has been able to do the kind of things that God has done? And Agur is saying, I haven't. I'm not God. No one has. I'm way smaller and less powerful than God. And he compares himself to God and recognizes just how small he truly is. Because if I said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, church. Your comparison is not the person sitting next to you. Your comparison is God. And compared to his glory and his power and his majesty, you and I are nothing. I want to encourage you this week. Be deliberate about it. Choose the low spot. Don't toot your own horn. And as you read the Bible, which I hope you do each and every day, ask yourself these two questions. What is this telling me about God? And what is this telling me about myself? The two questions you should always ask yourself when reading a passage: what is this revealing to me about who God is? And what is this revealing to me about myself? And if you're honest and you ask those questions, what you will see is just how big of a contrast there is between you and God. You will discover how glorious and great and beyond imagination God is, and you will discover how limited and small and yet still loved beyond imagination that you are. And that's how humility grows in your heart. That's how you and I can walk in wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. But what I love most is that you set the example. You didn't just say, do what I tell you to do, even though you're God and you could have. But you lived it out. And you gave for us the example, Lord Jesus, of how we should operate in our own lives. That if we want wisdom, if we want to walk according to how you designed this earth to be, how you designed for us to be, that one of the ways in which we do that is that we choose humility. That we walk in humbleness. That we don't try to get what is ours. But that we think about ourselves less. And so in these next few moments, Father, speak to our hearts. And if there be anything unclean in us, Spirit, convict us of that. Reveal that to us as we submit it to you. Ask for your forgiveness and prayerfully walk out of this place changed and transformed by the renewal of your spirit. So do what only you can do in these next few moments. I ask this all in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Church, I love you.